Let's dive into the Word of God. We're in the midst of a series, and this is actually the last installment of this series called How to Bounce Back. Has anybody been enjoying this series of teachings? What a great series of teachings that it's been, and we really believe that there is a bounce back happening in our current moment, not just in our culture at large, not just in our city, but in our community, and even in our own lives, right? And what we're trying to do is we're trying to study how can we bounce back well, and not just in this current moment where we're bouncing back from a pandemic and the fallout of that and so much struggle and hardship that maybe has happened in various ways and in various points of the last season in many of our lives. How do we bounce back from that? But how do we bounce back when it happens again, right? How do we bounce back when those hardships and those difficulties and those challenges and those trials that inevitably come our way in life, how do we keep bouncing back from those? And, you know, obviously with this season that we've been in, that we're coming out of and that we're bouncing back from, I know it's weighed on so many of us. Really, it's been like the last 450 days or so, let's call it that, right? That, you know, this was, sort of a surprise to us, these things that happened, these things that sort of took us by storm. But how many of you know that the God of the universe was not surprised by any of this that has happened? So, see, this series is all about how do we tap into that? How do we tap into what the Lord is doing? So that how do we bounce back well, and how do we move forward into what God has for us coming off of what may have been a dark season for some of us? And how do we do that again when those times inevitably come up in life? See, one of the things that always keeps me awake at night as a pastor is the idea that people may come into our church, or people who are under the sound of my voice on the live stream or on the podcast are going through some hard stuff, right? Life is hard, in case you didn't know. Life is hard. There are many things that line up throughout our day to really trip us up. And so the weight of how many people who will hear my words and hear us on a Sunday and hear these messages that we give, and how many people who are not okay, who come to church, who happen upon a podcast to really understand more about how can I be a little bit better? How can I be a little bit better? That's really what this is all about. People have a lot of heavy burdens. They have a lot of disappointments. They have a lot of sadness at times. And I don't mean to bring the mood way down, but you see, the scripture that I want to go into this morning is from the book of Lamentations. It's a book of lament. And so it necessarily means that there's some sadness involved, right, when we're lamenting something in the book of Lamentations. And we'll read more about this. I don't want to give you too much context, but I do know that this is some of the heaviest, maybe weightiest literature in the Bible, maybe ever written, let alone in the Bible. And see, I want you to brace yourselves a little bit, because what we're going to read is from the prophet Jeremiah. And that's all the context I'm going to give you for now. Let's go there to Lamentations chapter 3. We're going to start in verse 1 there. And this is the Word of God. It says, I am the man who has seen affliction by the rod of the Lord's wrath. He has driven me away and made me walk in darkness rather than light. Indeed, he has turned his hand against me again and again all day long. He has made my skin and my flesh grow old and has broken my bones. He has besieged me and surrounded me with bitterness and hardship. He has made me dwell in darkness like those long dead. He has walled me in so I cannot escape. He has weighed me down with chains. Even when I call out or cry for help, he shuts out my prayer. He has barred my way with blocks of stone. He has made my paths crooked, like a bear lying in wait, like a lion in hiding. He dragged me from the path and mangled me and left me without help. He drew his bow and made me the target for his arrows. See, I want to interject for a moment here, because what's important to understand is he's talking about God right here. He's talking about God. These statements sound like something that you might read about the devil Or it might sound like something that maybe you'd say about a really bad friend or someone evil in the world. But this is a prophet of God talking about the God that he represents. So you can see that there's this deep grief and anguish and hardship that he's going through. Bear with me, he keeps going. He says again, like a bear lying in wait, like a lion in hiding, he dragged me from the path and mangled me, left me without help. He drew his bow and made me the target for his arrows. He pierced my heart with arrows from his quiver. I became the laughingstock of all my people. They mock me in song all day long. He has filled me with bitter herbs and given me gall to drink. He has broken my teeth with gravel. He has trampled me in the dust. I have been deprived of peace. I have forgotten what prosperity is. So I say, my splendor is gone and all that I had hoped from the Lord. I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. Lord, I just ask that you would be with us now. Lord, these words that we've read are hard to read. They're challenging to read because of the despair, the anguish, the grief, the sadness, even the depression that we see and read in these words. But Lord, you included them in your word for a reason, and that's what we want to unearth today, Lord. Help us to learn from what you're speaking here and how we can bounce back. Lord, I step aside now. I ask that you would speak through me. It's in your name we pray. Amen. See, it's interesting, you know, in order to bounce back, you have to have something to bounce back from, right? In order to bounce back, you have to have something to bounce back from. And see, what some of us may bounce back from in life or are bouncing back from right now is something different altogether. Maybe some of us are even going through a state of being really sad. Maybe that's you today. Maybe you've been there in your life at some point, almost to the point of a sadness that's so deep it feels like a depression, right? You know, that's sort of what I see jumping off the page when I read Jeremiah here. Is this is not just a fly-by-night thing. This is something that is much deeper than that. But before I go any further, you need to know that I am not a licensed professional in the area of counseling or therapy. I'm up here to preach. This is not a diagnosis. This is not a substitute for professional help. If you know anybody, or maybe it's you yourself that need help, just come find a pastor after this and just say that I want some support, and we can plug you into the right people who are counselors, who know what they're doing, who can help you. But see, what I think we need to understand here is what the Bible is talking about is it's not so much giving us a definition of depression or trying to diagnose that necessarily, but what we do see here is someone who's going through something challenging to the point that this could be, you might diagnose Jeremiah here with something like a depressive state, right? He's talking about something that's really been hard for him. And what we're reading about is an example of one man's experience with grappling with something really hard and what his thoughts were at the time. See, there's not a definition here, a biblical definition, but I do want to give you a modern definition of depression. See, it's depression has been defined by a temporary emotional state characterized by exaggerated feelings of sadness. See, what you might say is that we all feel sad, we'll all have bad days, there's things that we go through, but depression is something different than just one bad day, right? It's something deeper than that. It can also be defined as a hopelessness that's not consistent with reality. And see, coming off of this last year and coming off of the things that we've experienced and the hardships that we've had, there's many statistics that I could give you that say the diagnosis of depression is up incredibly over the last year, just because of all the things that have gone on and what has happened there. But I don't want to spend the rest of the time kind of diagnosing this. See, the more you read about the symptoms of depression, the more you read about those things, you can just about diagnose yourself with it at times, right? It talks about irritability. Yeah, I've got a five-year-old, you know. That's a thing, right? Sudden weight gain because of increased eating. Yeah, that happens. Sudden loss of weight because of decreased eating, you know, to counteract the increase, you know. So there's a lot of things that you can probably find about yourself in these diagnoses, but that's not what we want to do here. See, what I thought would be more helpful is to give you something that hopefully everyone can relate to. See, if you've never been through a season where you thought you just couldn't get above it, where something is just holding you back, something's just been holding you down, something has made you really, really sad, can I tell you, you probably will one day. And if you never go through a season where you feel like you can't get back up and God's grace is with you and you never have to go through that, then maybe what today is all about is how you can help someone who is going through that and how you can guide them and how you can help them in their struggle. See, this is a strange passage we read, right? Jeremiah here, he's got God typecast as a bear trampling him. That's how he's reading what God has done here. And see, Jeremiah wrote this book of Lamentations at the end of the destruction of Jerusalem in 587 BC at the hands of the Babylonians. Jerusalem had just been wiped out. That's when he's writing this book of Lamentations. And see, everything he loved was in disarray. Everyone he loved had been taken into captivity. And so what we need to understand that Jeremiah isn't, he didn't take a test and got a bad grade, right? That's not the sadness that he's feeling. He didn't have a breakup. What he's going through here and what he's writing, this is a classic form of literature at the time called a lament. That's from the book of Lamentations, right? And it was very popular in his day. And what's interesting about this book of Lamentations is it forms an acrostic poem. There's actually five books in the book of Lamentations, and each section starts with the next letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And it forms an acrostic as you read through each of the sections. So it's really sort of a little bit of poetry in a way as well, which is sort of dichotomous, right? It's something beautiful, but it's being written in about something that's very hard and very challenging. And see, Jeremiah, he's expressing his grief in an appropriate way for that time and in this type of literature. And if you think about this, what fascinates me the most about this book of the Bible in particular is that this book made the cut at all when God was editing the Bible. See, it isn't like God didn't have other options, right? When you're the creator of the universe, you can hire anyone you'd like to write your book, right? It's almost like God is saying, hey, you know that book where you called me a bear? Where you said I was shooting arrows through your heart. Let's not clean that up. Let's not edit that. Let's not make it say what it might have said if Jeremiah was in a better mood that day. No, see, what happens here is God is keeping this in the Bible. This is here for a reason. This despair, this hardship, this really challenging thing that we're seeing someone who is a prophet of God, someone who God speaks through, is going through. And see, what I want to tell you, friends, what this tells me about God is that it tells me that God's goodness is wide enough and deep enough to accommodate my grief. It's wide enough and deep enough to accommodate my grief. See, you have this book, this Bible, this thing that has all this triumph, and there's all this victory, and there's all these promises, and there's all these good things, but there is also some tragedy. And it's as though the Lord is saying, I want you to know that I can handle that. That I can handle it. I'm not upset because you're upset. I'm not done with you because you feel like you're done with me. See, there is a place for grief within the love and the power of God. See, there's a lot of people who run around in Christian circles, and they often say things like, well, if you had the Spirit of God, you'd always have joy. Has anybody ever heard people say things like that? And see, I hate when people give others who are having a hard time because they're struggling, because it just condemns them even more, right? That's not how God would operate. Not only are they down on themselves, but now they're even more down on themselves because everyone else is down on them. And instead of raising someone up, we tend to sometimes beat them down. Now, sometimes, don't get me wrong, you might need someone like a pastor or someone in your life that you respect to say, hey man, you know what? You need to get over that. And that may be something that happens sometime. Let's move on. But what I'm trying to say is, as believers in Jesus, we should not be the ones that point the finger and say, well, because you're down and because you're sad and because you had all this stuff happen to you, there must be something wrong with you. There must be some sin in your life, right? That's not the type of believers in Jesus and followers of Jesus that we want to be here at Hope Denver. And see, what I would say to those people who want to counteract that, I would say, well, you know what? Jeremiah was a prophet of God who served God for 40 years, and I cannot find a place in the Bible where Jeremiah failed to complete his assignment for God, and yet here we read something happened to him that is really hard. Take Jeremiah just as the example to counteract somebody who might say something like, you should always have joy. See, Jeremiah, he gave his life to something and to this nation. He gave his life to it, and he's looking at the ashes of what's around him, and he is depressed. He's sad. But it's not because he doesn't love God anymore. And it's not because he never loved God. And it's not because he never tried for God. It's not that he doesn't want to be everything that God called him to be, or that he's not doing everything he can to follow in the ways of the Lord. He's just going through something that has him down. And that can happen. That can happen. See, we're meeting Jeremiah at his lowest point. But what I want you to understand is Jeremiah had a great calling on his life. See, if you go back to Jeremiah, the book of Jeremiah, in chapter 1 and verse 4, it says this, the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. I called you. I appointed you. The Lord is affirming of Jeremiah as his prophet, as someone who is following after him. So the question is, how can that same man say, I am the man you called and appointed, but I am also the man who's been trampled down. I'm also the man who's lower than dust. See, here's what I want you to realize, friends, is just because you have a great calling on your life doesn't mean you won't go through a season of sadness or depression or hardship. See, sometimes in order to bounce back well, you have to have something to bounce back from. When you feel down and low, that doesn't mean that God has left you. It might just mean that he has something in particular for you to learn, for you to get out of that situation, out of that thing, out of that person that's weighing you down. There might be something for you to mine out of there. And see, the best example that I always can give of these situations of hardship in my life is right about the time we decided to start this church. It was right at the time, literally the weekend of our decision to say, yes, Lord, we're going to obey you and we are going to start Hope Denver Church. We didn't know it was called Hope Denver then. But we said, you know what? We're going to obey you. The six pastors decided to do that. And it was literally the next Monday that some of us lost our jobs. The next Monday. And we had to make some decisions about what we were doing with our careers and how this thing was going to come together became a much different picture. And see, what I'm learning, though, is that in those situations, you can see, and like as we went through that and as that season, I look back as we're trying to start the church and we changed jobs and changed career path and, you know, all this change and thing and everything was happening at once. I would say I went into a state of sadness at the time. I don't know if I would call it depression, but I would say I was really sad about what was going on. It was almost like, Lord, what is happening here? Why would you do this? Why would you call us to this and then take this cushion away, this safety net away? Why would you do that? There was a lot of questioning. There was a lot of wondering. There was a lot of kind of, what are you doing here, Lord? Similar to what Jeremiah was doing here. Because how could that be? How could you call us to this and then create these hardships? But what I've learned through all of this, friends, is just because you have a great calling doesn't mean you won't experience hardship and sadness. And just because you're experiencing sadness doesn't mean you won't live out your great calling. See, this is why Jeremiah said, I'm the man who God spoke to, but I'm also the man who doesn't even know where God is right now. He doesn't really believe that God doesn't hear him, right? He's disoriented. It's not that I want to stay this way, right? Jeremiah wouldn't say that. I can remember when I was going through this sadness that I was talking about, I was thinking all the time, Lord, I don't want to be here. We're trying to get this thing started. Give me some energy to do this. Give me some pep in my step. Give me something that I can come back to. But see, what Jeremiah was talking about here too is, I think he would say, I want to get back to the place where I can serve you, where I can have some momentum. But every time I try, it seems like there's something stronger than me pushing back against me and keeping me from bouncing back. Has anybody ever felt this way before? Have you had these seasons in your life? It's hard, right? It's challenging. But I want you to hear this, friend. See, that's the part that I had to preach so that I get to preach this. You don't get abs without sit-ups, right? See, from the ashes of all this depression, from all of this heartache, look at what Jeremiah says in verse 21. Look at what he says. Put that up on the screen. He says, I well remember them. My soul is downcast within me. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. I read that and I wonder, Jeremiah, is there another diagnosis here? Are you bipolar? which is it, right? Is God the bear mangling you, or is he the father that loves you? Is he the lion that's mauling you, or is he the one whose compassions never end? And you know what? I want the reality that I want you to hear today is, friends, is sometimes it's both. Sometimes it might be both. Sometimes you might feel like you're his target, right? God, go pick on someone else. Spread some of this around. Haven't I had enough, right? There may be those days. But here's what Jeremiah does, and here's something practical, friends, that I think we can take about understanding about how to bounce back. And it's this. You will not always be able to control what happens to you that may get you down, but you can always choose, and you can always control what you call to mind. This is what Jeremiah does, right? This is what he does. But if I choose to live in God's love, if I can choose to recall it, if I can choose to remember it, if I can always have it on the tip of my tongue, then I can call to mind the goodness of the Lord. It's almost like you have to command it when you're in these seasons, right? When you're in these seasons of heartache, when you're in these seasons of hardship, you almost have to command it. Just like you might call, I've got my dog Murphy, right? He's a puppy. He's so wild and crazy and running around all the time. But when I say come, and when I snap my fingers and I say come here, he comes right away. I can command him to do what I need him to do. You have to do the same with your mind, friends. You have to start training your mind. Here is what God's word says, and that is what I believe, even when it's hard, right? You have to say, here's what God promised to do for me. I'm not giving up. Here's what God promised to do for me. See, Jeremiah here, he's saying, I feel far from God right now. I feel like he's not here. This thing that has me down has gotten me to the place where I feel really low. But I'm going to rewind to the times that he has lifted me out. I'm going to rewind to the times where I can know and choose to believe that he is still good. I can choose to live in his love and in his great faithfulness. It's not dismissing that I'm sad, but it's embracing that he is okay with it, right? See, God, what you can do is say, God is good, God is great, and he is real, and he is still close to me, even when I feel low, even when I feel down. I would say this to you, friends. You haven't had experienced the presence of God in a while in your life? Then just keep praying. Keep believing. Keep commanding your mind to go back to those things you know to be true about Him. See, this is what faith is all about. This is what hope is all about. You can't control what's happening around you. There's things happening that happen around us that we have no control over. If you don't believe that after this last year, then I can't help you. There's things that you could never control. But you can call to mind that your God is good all the time. And see, then he says something that I think we all should probably memorize. In verses 22 through 24. Let's put that up on the screen. He's talking about his compassions. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. See, friends, you may have come into this place this morning, or maybe you turned on this podcast, or wherever it is you're listening to this, wondering where your life was going. And there's all this mess swirling around you, and you're unsure of your calling as a child of God. And if you're not there this morning, then you might be there next week. So I hope that you'll hear this, because I came to tell somebody this morning, because of the Lord's great love for you, you will never be consumed. By whatever the world can throw at you, you will never be consumed. For His compassions for you will never fail. You may have come into this place this morning feeling as though you cannot get back up from this situation or this person or this job or this whatever, this thing that has you down, that has you at rock bottom. And maybe you felt resigned to the idea that you're never going to bounce back. But I wanted to tell somebody this morning that the Lord is good to those whose hope is in Him, to the one who seeks Him. Now, you might have to wait a minute. Your bounce back might not happen in an instant, but it is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. See, look, here's the deal. If you're going through something right now and you're in need of a bounce back, then I hope you're finding yourself somewhere in this story. And see, I know that there's some of you in this room that are going through some things. There's people under the sound of my voice that are. There's some things that are happening in the midst of our little church family here. Maybe in your family, maybe with your friends, maybe with your coworkers, people you know. It may not be your story, it might be theirs. And see, I want to say to like those people, if it's some of you or those people that you know, that if we sat down and it was just you and it was just me, and we could spend a few hours maybe, or heck, we could even spend forever, and you could tell me what you're going through, then no matter what that is, I think I would tell you, I don't know why. I hurt with you. I feel for you. But what I want you to know is God is still good. And He will get you through this. I don't know why. I hate it for you, but God is good. God is good. And see, from the most depressing book, the most depressing chapter of the Bible, we can see the most resounding picture of what hope looks like, of what faith looks like. And see, friends, as you navigate the story that is unfolding in your life, you can be quick to find that discouragement is around every corner. Discouragement will always be there. Despair might be around the corner next week. It might always be there. And it might seem like sometimes that the harder you run after God, the harder the forces of evil in this world are going to try to prevent you from getting to where you're going. And see, that's what I've learned, friends, is when you lean into what God is doing in your life the most, that's when you will feel the most pushback. That's what happened to us when we started this church. That's what happened. That's what happened to many of you, I think, that have partnered with us. When you decided to jump headfirst into what God had for you and your calling is when the things that are hardest come to push against you the most. And when that happens, friends, all it really takes to trip us up is one drop, one little hint of discouragement in your ears, and it can derail a lot of things. How many of you know that the devil's number one objective for you is to doubt the greatness of God? Is to create doubt. That's what he wants to do. He wants to say things like you're unworthy. He wants to say things like you're a terrible father. You're a terrible mother. You're a terrible boss. You're a terrible employee, a friend, a sister, a brother, a son, a daughter, whatever it is. That's what he wants you to hear. You'll never be better than any of this. But here's a way that you can overcome those schemes. Take captive your thoughts and place your hope in the love of God. It's that simple, friends. It's that simple. And here's what you can do. A lot of times when you hear those things that try to get you down, that try to weigh you down, like I'm unworthy or I don't have it or I'm never going to be better than this, that's only a half truth. What you can do is finish the truth, right? You can finish the truth. Yes, I'm unworthy. I'm absolutely nothing without Jesus Christ. But thankfully, he died so that I may become a new creation, full of purpose that he has for my life. No, I may not be a perfect father, but I am loved unconditionally by the perfect father who breathed the stars yet knows the hairs on my head. And he's making me more like him every day. You see, finish the truth. Finish the truth. You're right. On my own accord, in my own effort, I can't do any better than this. But I'm not doing this by myself. I serve the Lord, who is able to do immeasurably more than I could ask or imagine. See, the devil will always try to show you the downside of your story. And friends, if you take your thoughts captive, you can make him pay. You can show him who Jesus says you really are. And see, friends, I think this is something that you can take with you whenever you need a bounce back. Whenever something has you down, whenever the world is coming against you, whenever if you're feeling like you're at rock bottom because of whatever situation you may encounter, if we can train our mind to recall the goodness of the Lord, whose compassions never fail, whose love is for those who put their hope in him, you can bounce back. You can bounce back. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your presence in this place this morning. Lord, we thank you for this series of teachings that you've placed in our hearts to give us the tools, the practical ways to think about how we can bounce back. And Lord, we thank you for this study of your prophet Jeremiah, who was so low, but yet, Lord, he recalled your goodness. He recalled how he can place his hope in you. And Lord, I pray that for everyone who's here today and under the sound of my voice, that when they go into Monday and those thoughts, those things that the enemy tries to drop in our minds, to derail us, to disappoint us, to discourage us, to cause us sadness, to cause us even to a state of depression at times in our life, Lord. Lord, we know that you have power over that. That are in the midst of whatever we're going through, you are big enough to house our grief, to house our sadness, and to hold us in your arms at the same time. And as we do that, Lord, we can recall, we can command our mind to finish those truths. Lord, I pray that we'd always remember and always recall your goodness, especially in those times where something is pushing against us, something has us down. And so, Lord, that's a word for somebody here today. If you're feeling that way, I want to say to you that if you will recall the Lord's goodness in your life, push the rewind button and think back to those times where he kept you, he held you, and he protected you, know that he can do it again. Lord, we thank you for all that you are in our lives. Help us, Lord, no matter what we go through, to bounce back from it better than we were before. It's in your name we pray all these things. Amen. Amen.